Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Tonight we want to continue to look at Relevant Magazine and also some current events, some articles that I've collected recently concerning the so-called Christians, who are actually liberals, who basically have been infesting our elections here in America, for those who are listening overseas. So let's just go ahead and jump right into the Relevant Magazine where I left off. This is from January and February. I ate too much turkey during the Thanksgiving season. I think I'm a little groggy here, folks. I'm sorry. Anyway, yes, it's the January-February issue from 2016, and I wanted to move to an article called Kingdom Come by the emergent church leader Scott McKnight. This is page 85 and 86. And of course, as I've mentioned before, Relevant Magazine is a very far-left magazine, a so-called Christian magazine, which also introduces and promotes many of the false prophets and heretical people within the charismatic and Pentecostal movements. Not to say, of course, that all charismatic and Pentecostals believe what certain people that we will discuss from time to time here are believing in. I usually identify very clearly those that are false prophets and false teachers so as to warn you, thus the name of my program, Deception in the Last Days, because there's plenty of it to go around, folks, just like turkey dinner. As you may have figured out, I did enjoy my turkey dinner just recently, and this podcast is, of course, you're hearing it a little bit after Thanksgiving, but I'm actually creating it shortly after Thanksgiving, so you don't have to be confused, and we'll move right along here. Now, in this article, Scott McKnight, it says Christians fall into two camps when it comes to heaven. They're either focused more on the here and now or on the afterlife. Rarely both. We agree. Theologian Scott McKnight, we asked theologian Scott McKnight about the right approach to the ever after. So here's what an emergent church person thinks. This world is not my home. This is a song he references. He says, I heard a preference for escapism in my childhood. And he said that in my childhood, Christianity, whenever we sang Jim Reeves' famous song, This World Is Not My Home, I'm Just a Passing Through. The other side, so you have the one side. We're looking at both sides here, according to the article. The two different camps of people. One is the escapists, according to McKnight. The other side has its own notable list of fans, including the well-known theologian pastor of Manhattan's Riverside Church, Harry Emerson Fosdick. He once said, our mission is not to get men to heaven, but to bring heaven to earth. He also once said that believing in fundamentalist Christianity is what he termed slaughterhouse religion. Because can you imagine believing that God would send his son to die on a cross and shed his blood, you know, like a slaughterhouse? So anyway, this is who he's referencing here, the Harry Emerson Fosdick, who has many fans. Probably many of them read Relevant Magazine. But anyway, of course, Fosdick's been dead for years. He was one of the folks who did battle with the heroic fundamentalists who were standing for the faith against people like Fosdick, the other modernist liberals of the era back then. Anyway, did you catch that? Our mission is not to get men to heaven, but to bring heaven to earth. Really? I thought our mission was to get men to heaven and keep them out of hell, but no. According to him, this is the other point of view, right? This is the other camp when it comes to heaven and the afterlife. You know, I obviously think this is false because we want others to go to heaven and not to hell. And so let's move on to the article. People who are living in view of heaven ought to be the most zealous about care for creation, according to McKnight. Love of others, peacemaking, and social justice. Heaven people, as I call them, have tasted the grandeur of heaven, and therefore they long for it to begin now on earth. Well, sorry, Scott, but heaven is not going to start on earth. That's not where heaven is. But anyway, and these same people can also be those who long for the fullness of God's presence and the perfection of God's and the perfection of God's people in the new heavens and the new earth. And by the way, eternal life begins now for us here on heaven, here on earth. Excuse me, we're not in heaven, no matter what Scott McKnight might want to imply. But anyway, actually, I would say this is a false statement, of course, because we should be most true Christians, of course, are going to be and should be most zealous for the Great Commission, fulfilling the Great Commission the Lord gave to us in Matthew 28. And that, of course, is concerned about getting people into heaven and keeping them out of hell. Not building heaven on earth. Christ is going to bring the millennial reign all by his lonesome. He doesn't need our help, folks. And by the way, the Antichrist is going to bring a false kingdom upon this earth before Christ brings the true millennial reign. The Antichrist wants to bring a liberal type of socialistic, globalistic, one world government, one world religion type setup, according to the Bible. Revelation makes it real clear. But anyway, moving on in the article. Just a second here. Okay. it says, heaven means we imagine. Once we catch a glimpse of what God plans for the kingdom, we can begin to implement that vision in the here and now, beginning in our churches and in our homes and in our worship. Let's agree that imagination is a God-given power that we can unleash to bring heaven to earth in the here and now. No, we can't. We can bring salvation to people. We can bring eternal life to people while they're here in this fallen world and these fallen bodies. We can't bring heaven to earth. Sorry, Scott. Anyway, and he's a theologian, so I guess I'm pretty smart to keep up with him here or disagree with the theologian. Anyway, don't want to get arrogant here or too cocky, just to say that we don't have to be theologians to understand God's will and his word. But we can't bring heaven to earth because this is always going to be a fallen earth until Jesus Christ comes and sets up his new kingdom millennial reign. Now, in one of his books called The Blue Parakeet, it says, Christians of all denominations often try to use the Bible for their own purposes, and there is no question that the liberals do that. They yank scriptures out of context to evade clear biblical doctrines, essential doctrines for salvation, essential doctrines to prove that you're a true biblical Christian, or what I like to call us, fundamentalists, because I don't trust the term evangelical too much anymore. McKnight argues that we need to rethink how to engage Scripture, and that's what is a big part of the emerging church of progressive Christians, even of the people who are involved in the contemplative prayer movement, contemplative spirituality movement. It's to rethink. I like to call it reinventing or redefining, basically, biblical truths, biblical wording, biblical doctrines, okay? So when you see anything along that line of rethinking, because they use what's called really re-words. They have that little prefix re in front of various words as they try to recreate Christianity to help help bring along Antichrist's program. Now, the last part of the article, heaven means we plant and build. Heaven people do not dreamily escape from this world. So obviously he's not in the escapism camp. And I only want to escape this world when it's time to escape, folks. When the rapture comes or when the Lord decides to take me through that river, cross the river of death, then I will escape from this world. But heaven people, according to him, do not dreamily escape from this world. I'll tell you what, I don't mind if the rapture comes today, I'll go. I won't fight it. I won't go kicking and fighting. But heaven people, according to McKnight, instead, to each of us heaven people, is given a task, a calling, a vocation, whatever it might be, and each of us is to do that task. And of course, I would say, yeah, it's the Great Commission. That's the big task. That's one of the big ones. The other one, another one is to defend the faith against heresies and heretics that are within this liberal movement. Even as we live in hope of eternity, we have an earthly life to which we are committed, to the glory of God. Why? In the first chapter of the Bible, God interprets his own work by calling it good. Yes, he did. Yes, he did, folks. Before the fall, everything was good. The light was good. That was my comment, not his. I wish he would have said, before the fall, everything was good. But no, he's just saying that God interprets his own work by calling it good. The light was good. The land was good. The sun and the moon are good. All creatures on the land are good. And then God made a male and female in his own image. God's own interpretation of his creation is that it is very good. In the goodness, he says, of God's creation, we begin to see how heaven people live. Heaven people dwell in God's good creation and are summoned by God to a task to govern this world under God for his glory. Now, did I miss something somewhere? You know, whatever happened to the fall of Eve and Adam? Whatever happened to the serpent? Satan deceiving Eve and her husband into thinking they can be like God, and they were going to know what God knew, and they were going to continue to be in this good, unfallen world. Well, you know, how can the theologian Scott McKnight miss that? I don't know. He's the professor of New Testament at Northern Seminary. Note to self, do not go to Northern Seminary. I mean, are you hearing this, folks? Everything's good, I guess. And am I missing something? But that's the problem. We're gonna create this heaven on earth, you know. So apparently it's not quite completely totally good, I guess. Or there are some more stages of goodness as we help, you know, plant and build this you know, socialistic kingdom here. I don't know. Anyway, I've belabored that point enough, I guess, but this is Relevant Magazine, and believe me, there's plenty more where that came from, just like turkey dinner, or just like the turkey. Anyway, the next thing I would like to look at is an article, and we'll get back to Relevant Magazine on down the road for their podcast, but today we're going to finish out with a couple of articles, if we have time for both, or maybe even more. And this one is kind of reiterating something from an earlier podcast, an article I read, but different article. It's called World Evangelical Alliance Head. The head of that World Evangelical Alliance says, evangelicism needs to be reclaimed in the Trump era. Uh-oh. Trump must be the bad guy here, I guess. By Samuel Smith. And this is from the Christian Post online magazine. Bishop Ephraim Tindero, Secretary General of World Evangelical Alliance. It shows a picture of him here, which you can't see. But anyway, the head of the World Evangelical Alliance said that it is unfortunate that the term evangelical has taken on a more political meaning in the United States and argued that it must be reclaimed. Hey, there's a reword, huh? Reclaimed. It just dawned on me. Reclaimed. Okay. While visiting the United Kingdom for a meeting of the UK Evangelical Alliance last week, WEA General Secretary Bishop Ephraim Tindero, forgive me if I haven't heard of him, spoke with the UK Christian United Kingdom Christian news outlet Premier. and in that article, he says that evangelicism must be reclaimed from political ties. He spoke about his thoughts on the debate over the word evangelical happening across the Atlantic in the United States. That's unfortunate that in the United States in particular, that the word evangelical and the evangelical movement is identified more for political advocacy rather than the orthodoxy of their faith and the demonstration and proclamation of the gospel. And then he says, with the rise of President Donald Trump and his conservative evangelical base, some evangelicals, yes, have voiced concern. I wonder who those evangelicals could be. I bet we find out in a minute. That the public perception of the term evangelical has been distorted to only describe those who are white social conservatives. I put in my notes, I don't know of any people who would say that. It's a distortion of the left. Really, that's what the left-wing fake Christians would say. I would say this is a red herring, and this Tindaro gentleman needs to do his homework or needs to get back to the Bible. Let's see what else we have here in this article. Oh, here we go. And this, of course, I read from this article, but this is good to reread this. Last week, about 39 left-leaning evangelical leaders signed onto a statement called the Chicago Invitation, Diverse Evangelicals Continue the journey. And of course, I noted that I might want to substitute the word perverse evangelicals, of course, because of their stands on homosexuality and other perverse topics. But it says often evangelicals are identified in the media and by the public as being predominantly white, right-wing, and unconcerned about the poor and the oppressed. Isn't that funny? And I have just the opposite concern. I see too many so-called evangelicals who are claiming to be left-wing, Marxist-oriented, globalist, one-world church-building type people. And but this is a repeat of the article I had read a couple of podcasts ago. In contrast to these false narratives, evangelicals compose an ethnically diverse group whose movement reflects a historical and ongoing commitment to Jesus, the authority to Scripture, of Scripture, evangelicism, and God's biblical call to justice, the statement adds. Of course, I would say because of the zeal for the overemphasis of God's biblical call to social justice or the social gospel, that in reality these liberals end up deferring, I mean, they minimize the authority of Scripture and evangelism. Including among the signatories of the document are Sojourner's founder Jim Wallis, Joel Hunter, a former megachurch pastor who served as one of President Barack Obama's spiritual advisors, Red Letter Christians Tony Campolo and Shane Claiborne, author Lisa Sharon Harper, who last podcast I was having a little problem remembering her full name. That's it, Lisa Sharon Harper. And Evangelicals for Social Action President Emeritus Ron Sider. Earlier this year, dozens of prominent leaders, including influential pastor and author Tim Keller, heard of him, and New York City megachurch pastor A.R. Bernard, held a private meeting at Wheaton College to discuss the challenges surrounding evangelicism. Also this year, about 10 evangelical activists, social scholars, and authors wrote essays published in the book Still Evangelical. Right now, evangelical is one of those labels that is up for grabs. It sure is. That's why I like fundamentalist once again, or neo-fundamentalist maybe, I don't know. It's up for grabs because it's been taken and used both by the media and various evangelical voices to mean something that is often quite specific and in many people's minds and antithetical to the gospel itself. According to Mark Laberton, who's the editor of this book, Still Evangelical, which has about 10 evangelical activists, etc., scholars and authors, he edits this book, and he's president of, guess what? Fuller Theological Seminary in California. Gee, I'll bet you that's an unbiased book. I'll bet you there's no liberal bias in that. I'll bet you there's no desire to turn the term evangelical to more of a liberal meaning. And so I would say, yeah, it's and when he says that it's often quite specific and antithetical to the gospel itself, I wrote in my notes, yes, because it's becoming a liberal term. And yes, I truly believe it is. So, now let's move to another article, and this is one we will probably close out with. I'll try to get through it. It's another good article by Jerry Ungerian, and it's very relevant to this topic. How the Social Justice False Gospel Was Used by Satan in the Midterms is its title. She said, I wrote this article about 4 months ago. This is on November 7th. She said, last night we witnessed this come to pass. So this article is about 4 months old, but still relevant. Not only did millions of people who call themselves evangelicals yet follow a false gospel come out to vote, but we have recently found that Soros has been funding this apostate movement for over a decade. And, of course, we looked at an article last week that Jerry wrote looking at Soros's influence. But there's some more things in this article I want you to hear. It seems almost like a horrible dream, those 8 years that we suffered under the reign of Barack Obama. We knew with whom we were dealing. He called himself a Christian. Moving on, the words which proceeded from the mouth of Barack Obama did not leave us wondering what he was about. He loathed Christians and loved the Muslim Brotherhood. Pretty straightforward. And he was the darling of Hollywood and the left-wing news media. To them, he could do no wrong. During his administration, the biblical definition of marriage was changed by the SCOTUS, or the Supreme Court of the United States. Marriage is now defined as the union between any two people, even of the same sex. That was under Barack Obama. The 2016 election. Hillary Clinton and the rest of the Marxist leftists thought she had it in the bag. Well, Jerry goes on to write, there were many Christians who stayed home during the elections. They called themselves the Never Trumpers. They could not seem to grasp that they were handing their vote over to Clinton. But the past is past, and we move on. I have been watching our president, Trump, and I have come to appreciate many things that he's doing for America and for Israel. He is consistent. I don't elevate him to a place where he should never be, but I believe that God put Trump in our White House for his reasons, and for that, I am grateful. And I am too, folks. I really, really am. Pray for President Trump. As believers in the Lord Jesus, Jerry goes on to say, and lovers of his word, we know that in order for the world to be readied for the coming of Antichrist, a one-world government must be established and a one-world religion as well. It is not known even to the best Bible scholar nor the most followed prophecy teachers exactly how this new world will come to fruition. I speculate that a catastrophic event will precipitate the new world order. Many Bible prophecy teachers say that event may very well be the rapture of the church, and she may or may not be right. But it's certainly a possibility. And we live, I think, you know, of course, in the soonness. The Lord could come at any time. We live in that anticipation of the Lord's return, the blessed hope. The United Nations have always said that the one thing standing in the way of the New World Order is a strong America. I am a Christian first, but also a patriot. I love my country. Marxists despise patriotism, and they do not tolerate Christianity. Further elections in the U.S. Under this topic, it says, I feel that I must warn the brethren that there are things happening in the U.S. which may have a dramatic impact on midterm elections. Of course, she wrote this 4 months ago. And the 2020 presidential election. These happenings will most likely affect our conservative movement in a profoundly negative way. Did you know that the voting age, I didn't know this, has been lowered to 16 in many places in the U.S.? It's true. There are people all over the country rallying for the voting age to be 16 across the land. And with the Marxist indoctrination of children in the public schools, you can be sure that the NEA has a plan in place right now, a plan that ensures that our 10th graders will be obedient leftist liberals as they march into the polls and cast their votes. Do you remember when scores of school children left their schools and marched in protest of the election of Donald Trump? Their teachers were elated. Let's not forget Common Core, which is still the curriculum in most schools across the nation. I like to refer to it as Commie Core. I like that. This globalist curriculum was created within the UN with one main goal. They want to mold our young people into responsible globalist citizens. Not too difficult to predict for whom the indoctrinated will cast their votes. The social justice gospel. This false gospel is spreading across the globe at breakneck speed. I will refer to this movement as the SJG. The SJG movement has Marxist socialist roots. They believe in the redistribution of wealth. They are pro-abortion as a whole. They are global warming fanatics. They are anti-capitalism. They march with LGBT groups. They call themselves Christians, and many are jumping on that train. I wrote an article recently on Rachel Held Evans. She is a very charismatic and accomplished leader of the SJG. She has literally millions of followers, young people mostly. Moving on, these people, the SJG, will undoubtedly vote Democrat. There's no absolute truth for the SJG. What is good for some may not be good for others. They want us to believe they are tolerant and open-minded, which they are, unless you are a conservative, Bible-believing Christian. Good point. Satan is working overtime. Did we really think that after the 2016 election of Trump that Satan would sit still? He and his demons have been hard at work. Satan knows his days are numbered. The main reason I'm writing this article is not to depress the brethren, it is to prepare them. We know that in order for Antichrist to enter the world stage, there must first be a new world order. Something must happen to America. I have racked my brain for years, wondering what would ultimately bring our country down. I believe that it very well may be a resurgence of left-wing liberals into power. After all, the Marxist socialists want the total destruction of America, and we know it. No borders, big government, redistribution of wealth, dwindling military, etc., etc. But God can always intervene once again to give us time to win more souls for him. And that's the key thing here, folks. He is in control, and don't you ever forget that. But if he does not intervene this time and the leftists get into power, once again, just know that this must happen to fulfill Bible prophecy. We belong to him. We are his people. So a good word there from Jerry again in this article, and this 4 months ago when she wrote those things concerning the midterms. But we definitely see the social justice people at work in the elections, and that's why I wanted to bring this to your attention. Now, I only have a couple minutes left. I'm going to see if I can dive in here to another. Well, you know what? We will wait. This is an article in the Pen and Pulpit that we're going to get to next week. Tim Keller, Russell Moore, trying to move Christians into the Democratic Party fold. And we will be looking at this article as well as some articles concerning a disciple, I would call her, of Keller, Kirsten Powers. And there's a few articles about her and her political involvement as she has claimed to be a Christian. And anyway, there's a whole lot to say about her. She claimed to be saved out of atheism when she was at Tim Keller's church and has moved around the liberal spectrum into many platforms of influence and influences people's minds, including so many young snowflake-type people who are buying into the social justice false gospel. But I'm running out of time, so we're going to look at that next week. And may God bless all of you, and I hope you'll come join us again. Thank you and good night.